Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Father, we believe you for just the right words this morning to speak in the time that we have left. Father, that you will minister your precious word to your people by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for ears that hear, eyes that see, and hearts that are open and receptive to your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to wrap up our series on love this morning and give you the short version because we took extra time to spend time in the presence of the Lord. I really felt like the Lord wanted to do that, and that's okay because, you know, I can't do more than the Holy Ghost can do. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is, I mean, he's the man. You know, I could stand up here and talk all day, but unless the Holy Spirit gets in the middle of what you're doing, you're not going to get free. And so I got to give him his time, you know. Sometimes we get into routines. I mean, like to break a routine every once in a while. You know, I mean, it's good to have ice cream. You know, I liken the word, you know, is likened to bread and meat and milk. Those are all good things, but every once in a while, you just need that sweet presence of the Holy Ghost, amen? And so I liken it to that. And so anyway, I wanted to say this as well. Ron back there talking to his wife, not listening to me. Wave your hand, okay? Ron put in two new toilets in our bathrooms this last Friday with grab bars. They're ADA compliant toilets. With grab bars, so if that's something that was a struggle for you, we got that all replaced. So if you have family or whatever, sometimes it can be a little tougher the older you get. Amen? So, but we got all those in there, and so that's a real blessing. So I wanted to say thank you to Ron. You know, I'm telling you, Ron and Jan have a ministry, and it's the ministry of helps. And they do it well, okay? They both do. And so we're thankful for that. I just wanted to make that known because the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due. I want to have Debbie, do you want to come and share? I'm going to have Debbie come and share. A couple of weeks ago, I'm going to go the white one there, Josh. Just come up here and stand with me. I want you to share what God's done. Debbie had me pray with her. For some opportunities at work. You work with, explain to me who you work with, and that way they'll know as well.
Well, I work in a school, and I work in the main office, but because we're a small school, I interact with the kids so much, and I interact with the special needs kids a lot. So that's kind of where this started. I knew that when I started working there, I was there on assignment. God put me there for a purpose. And I was kind of feeling like maybe I was done, like the grace to be there had lifted and I didn't want to be there so much anymore. But I just said, God, for whatever length of time I'm here, you got to stir this up again because I don't want to be here for not a reason. I don't want to waste any time. So whatever. So God just started to really challenge me to spend more time interacting with the kids on purpose, like asking him for a word for these kiddos every single day, not just the special needs kids, but all of them. And so I had Pastor Sean pray with me just for boldness. And you know, guys, you better be serious when you ask God for boldness because man, he's going to lay it on. So the very next day when I went to school, the first thing that happened was I got into this amazing conversation with my boss about the kindness and the goodness of God and homosexuals. Hmm. It was amazing just how God does everything well. And that would be an awful joke. And we talked for like 45 minutes. It was so good. And he was so receptive, you know, it was just so good. And then there was a teacher that I got to interact with. And this has happened with this teacher several times. He's very open to the gospel. He grew up a Catholic and he just doesn't really know now. He's searching. But God has just opened door after door for me to be able to minister the love of God to him. And now he married my cousin, so that's awesome too. But so then God just challenged me with these kiddos. So I began to just pray with these special needs kids, just pray over them kind of from a distance, like laying my hands on their medication and praying for them before I gave it to them. Then I've talked with parents and said, is it okay if I pray with your kids? They're like, yeah, that's fine. You can pray for my kids. So I've been able to do that. And one little girl in particular, I just said to her one day, I just think that when you take your meds, we're just going to pray, okay? Okay, she said, okay. So I see her 2 to 3 times a day. And she will not leave my office now without me praying with her. She stands there and waits. And I've asked her about asking Jesus into her heart, you know, and so we've talked about that and how easy it is to talk to God. And the other day she said to me, I'm praying at home now. I'm sleeping better. Wow. So we're seeing things. And just this morning, God has given me another assignment there. I know tomorrow when I go to work, I have something else I need to do. And so I'm going to do that. And I'm just stepping out in faith, you guys. God has got me. And yes, I'm in a public school. And he's got me there for a reason. And God has wiped fear out of my life. Fear is gone. So I'm just going with God. And you know what? If they take my job, so be it.
Amen. So, you know, if we do this enough and you become such good doers of the word, I may not have to preach. I may just show up and let one person share after another. And I know there are a lot of testimonies, and Heidi has the testimony sheets if you don't want to come up. Although, I would encourage you to come up. And people say, well, I'm not a public speaker. I know, but you'd be amazed at who's not a public speaker, but when God's presence comes on you, you can do things. You know what I mean? Even though you feel nerves a little bit, you know, they go away after a little bit. And you can share what God's done. But if not, you can always do the testimony forms and we'll share it for you. The word works. Amen? It works. It always works. If you just do it, you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be charismatic. You don't have to be anything but just you and just say, this is what God said, and share it in faith, and God will perform his word. He'll do it. He'll do it. So be bold in your place of business, amen, or wherever God has you, and it'll be good. All right, so let's go over. If you want to turn to, you go to Matthew 24, and I'm going to introduce this morning. We wiped out the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 last week, and I felt like that really went well. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures that are just our golden text for this series, but you go to Matthew 24, please. John 13, 34 says, the Lord said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. James 2:8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law, that is the law of love, as transgressors. And so I just want to wrap up this morning hitting a couple of high points in Scripture that talk about love. There are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about love. So there's no way I could go through all of them. I mean, I'll just let you know, my message, this series that I've done, is 37 pages long. Okay? And it could be longer. It could be longer. You know, you're gathering and you're studying. What I need to say is what needs to be said right now. I don't need to say everything. So I just want to hit a few high points and then finish it up on faith, and we'll wrap it up here in about 20 minutes. That be all right? All right. So we looked at love is the law of the new covenant. We've looked at love fulfills the Ten Commandments. You know, you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. You just walk in love, and guess what? You're not going to murder your neighbor. Right? If just it prevents it every time, you know, people are like, oh, we need gun control. No, you need heart control. is what you need. Because I got a gun and I ain't killed nobody. I mean, murdered anybody. You know what I mean? It's not in my heart to murder. I don't have it in my heart to murder. So the issue is not the gun. The issue is the heart. I don't know if you've noticed in Great Britain. I think it's in Great Britain. Anyway, one of the European countries where they outlawed guns. Now they have to outlaw knives. It is Great Britain with knives. Yeah. So the point is this, okay? And I know there's a lot of debate about these things, and I don't want to go that direction, okay? I want to keep it with the word here this morning. But the point is this, is that Cain killed Abel with a rock. Okay, so it's the issue of the heart. That's what the issue is, okay? And we need to realize that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not against defending ourselves or any of the... I believe in the Constitution. I know why the Second Amendment was put there. But I'll say this. One of our greatest tools as believers is to love those who hate us. Does that make sense? And it disarms people in many ways, but that way as well, okay? And so we want to pray for our government, amen? Make sure we pray for them so they see truth and see light. So we looked at that. We looked at the fact that we have this love in our hearts, that we need to pray and ask God, according to Ephesians 3, for a greater understanding of this love. We looked at that we are to love, at how we are to love. We are to put the expression of love on. In Colossians, it talks about putting on the new man. And then finally, we looked at the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. So I just want to go over just a couple of things here this morning about love. Matthew 24, verse 11. Love is going to be lost in these days. Okay? Jesus said this, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness, or because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Okay? So this is a warning from Jesus. There, how many think lawlessness has abounded? Oh my goodness. So what is the tendency of believers if we're not careful? The tendency is to get legalistic and not love. Okay? I'm not condoning wrong. Like Debbie had brought up the homosexual issue. I'm not pro-homosexual, okay? But I am pro-people. You know what I mean by that? So we have to love those people. It will do no good. You know, it's hard to save somebody if you stone them to death. You say, why would you say that? Because in the Old Testament, they stoned people to death. Well, how can I redeem somebody that's dead? Does that make sense? We need to not be so naturally minded and more spiritually minded. We need to have our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, it doesn't matter what level or how rank a sinner is in the sense of how bad they've gone. Do you know the presence of God that was in here today would have been here today if they were here too? Do you know that presence of God was available to Hitler? Yeah, everybody. It's available to everybody. And if you sit back and go, well, no, I don't think that's the case, you are hypocritical. You don't realize who you are without Christ. Because Jesus died for what we might classify as the worst sins, as well as what we might classify as the, oh, that's not so bad. Does that make sense? So we need to be careful we don't let love grow cold. Cold means to chill. It's deep, isn't it? It means to chill. It was interesting because I looked it up. It says, it means or to cool by blowing. Isn't that interesting? I thought, cool by blowing. So in other words, false prophets and lawlessness have a chilling or cooling effect on the love that you have. The love of God. It's not that it can overpower God. It's that it can distract and get you away from keeping that love of God at a fervent heat inside you. Does that make sense? So you got to watch out for that. Watch out for that, because you don't want it to grow cold. The Passion Translation says it this way: "And many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold." So we need to make sure we keep that flame stoked and that fire burning. Another scripture that will help us keep that love going is found in Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, and it's verse number 20, and it says this. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." The word "keep" means to attend to carefully. It means to take care of. It means to guard. The idea is one in that state in which he is. In other words, keep yourself in the state of love. And you can do that through praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Praying in the if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's part of it. But you can also pray in the Holy Spirit in English. Did you know that? In your known language. So praying will keep it fervent. Praying will keep it alive. Not focusing on false prophets or false things, or not focusing on lawlessness and sin, but seeing situations. You know, one of the greatest things you can do to keep yourself in the love of God is to just go ahead and pray for every person that has hurt you and mistreated you and lied to you and stole from you. Come on. Just go ahead and do it. I know that's not very exciting. You know, people read that scripture and, like, you know, they read it fast and go on to the next one. Where's the one about my needs being met? You know, let me just help you with something real quick. From a pastor to you. The one about your needs being met won't be as effective or work as well if you don't practice the one about praying for people that have done you wrong. And I want to prove it to you here in a minute at the end of this. Remember, we talked about that last week. The love of God does not brood over wrongs. And that word means to stew. And then the Lord gave us that illustration of how many have ever had beef stew. They put all this stuff into a pot and they let it cook and cook and cook, and it stews, right? And then you can stir it, right? But the love of God doesn't sit and brood over those things. So what you may have to do is you may have to filter through your own heart and go, "Lord, where have I created something that I shouldn't be eating? Where's the concoction that I've built up where I need to get that out of my life?" So that, see, because bitterness kills you. It doesn't kill the other person, right? They're not even, you know, if they were a vile person, they're not even thinking about you anyway. And they're certainly not thinking about coming and apologizing. How many have met that person before? I used to be that person till Jesus came into my heart. So you go ahead and visit those places, even though they're uncomfortable. I mean, I'm talking about inside your heart. And you go, "You know, this person did this to me, but Lord, I choose to forgive them because you said so." And let me just help you. It's not going to feel like you forgave them. It's not going to even, when you see them, you may, you know, have to bite your tongue, so to speak. All these things may happen, but you know what? You just keep going back to the Word and doing the Word, and your feelings will eventually line up with the Word of God. We won't have to worry about it one bit. Amen? All right. So you need to keep yourself in that love. Love must be in our mouths. Ephesians 4, verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Wow, that covers a lot of bases. You know what I mean? "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So how do I have to forgive, Lord? Just the way the Lord would say, just the way I've forgiven you. Go ahead and forgive. Just let it go. And the devil's going to bring things back to you. Have you ever noticed that you can, you are put together or wired in such a way. How many have ever been in a place that was not familiar to you, but you smelled something that brought you back to a situation in your life, whether good or bad? Have you ever had that happen? See, you're wired that way. Well, the enemy, you know, people say, well, why would God do that to us? He didn't. The enemy invaded what God did, which was good originally, and turned it into something perverse. Does that make sense? So that can happen. So what you need to do is you need to go, oh, yeah, that's a picture of what happened, devil, but I've forgiven that person, and I let it go. I let it go. And that will keep that love of God fresh and alive and moving in you. And then it says this, I'll read it to you in the Passion Translation. It says, lay aside all bitter words, temper tantrums, come on, revenge, listen to this, profanity and insults, just lay them aside, let them go. But instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Get down into the depths of Christ's love that's in you, and you'll forgive people. This is a key to having power in the church. How many enjoyed the presence of God this morning? Okay? This is a key to keeping it. You, on this aisle, loving those people on that side. And vice versa. Yeah, smile, wave, we love you. Yes, sir. We bless each side in the name of Jesus. Okay. But keeping that going is what God likes, the atmosphere of love, because it's Him. It's, remember, it's not something He has. It is who He is. Okay? And so that's a powerful thought. So God is not going to pour out, this is what the Holy Spirit had dealt with me, God is not going to pour out great power where there is a bunch of immaturity. The love of God compels us to lay down our lives for someone else. That's what it does. That's what the love of God does. The Mirror Bible says this, take up the strongest possible position against every form of distorted behavior in your life. I like that. Do not allow yourself to be spiteful. Outbursts of violent emotion and rage do not become you. You don't have to shout in order to make your point. People must feel safe in your conversation. Therefore, slander and hurtful words or blasphemy are out. Be inspired by kindness and compassion. Your forgiving one another when you might feel irritated and frustrated demonstrates the way God graciously treated us in Christ. I like that. Very modern speech. So sometimes we don't always identify with how the New King James says something, but here we see it. We don't have to be hurtful. We don't have to be spiteful. We don't have to be frustrated. Even if you feel frustrated, you can slow your body down and slow your mouth down and say things in such a way and think before you speak and bring out the love of God through your body to somebody else. Does that make sense? Okay. You don't have to just do, well, I just feel it. Well, you don't have to act how you feel. I mean, you teach your kids that. At least you should. Right? As adults, I think sometimes we think, well, I'm a parent, I can do what I want. Well, you can, but I'll just tell you this. There's always a harvest on a seed you plant. You know? It just happens. You say, well, God's doing it. No. Seed time and harvest is in the planet. People say, well, I'm not planting a tree. I know, but it's spiritual before it's natural. Okay? So if you sow words of anger towards somebody, guess what you're going to reap? Listen to me. Even if that person doesn't respond in anger, somewhere it'll pop up. It'll pop up. It's the way it works. Unless you go back over it and repent and get it under the blood, you're going to have not a good harvest, okay? So you want to be aware of that. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 3:8, and then one more verse and we'll have her wrapped up. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, finally, all of you, be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling. Well, they did this to me and I'm going to do this to them. Yeah, don't do that. Okay? Why? Because whatever you sow, you reap. So you want to sow mercy. You want to sow blessing. But on the contrary, here he says it, blessing. knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. He who would love life, how many love life? And you want to see good days, how many want to see good days? Let him refrain his what? Tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Isn't it interesting that in all of these love scriptures, the mouth is referenced? You know, people think, you got to control your body. You know, they think of all these different things. The worst part of your body is, wah, right here. Yeah. It's just a few inches or so below your eyes, depending, you know, on how your face is structured. This is the power of life and right there. Okay? So stop calling your dog stupid. People are like, is that a prophetic word? Well, if you're watching your dog and they're getting dumber and dumber, don't just walk up to them all the time and go, oh, stupid, you're so cute. You know what I mean? Bless your animals, amen? I hit a nerve with somebody on that. They're just not saying it. I grew up in a house where we call our animals dumb sometimes. It's a wonder they did the things they did. They couldn't help it. We were prophesying bad things over them. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all these things have what? Fervent love for one another. Do you find it interesting? I did. In 1 Peter 3:8, he said love one another. In 1 Peter 3:8? Yeah, 3:8. Through 10 or 11 and 12, he talks about love. And then in 1 Peter 4:8, he says love. It's like Peter was a broken record. You know? Love and then love and love and love. I wonder if the churches were like, are they going to write anything else to us? Apparently, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's bigger than you think, and we'll see it here in a minute. But you're to love one another. Message, it says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. It also says this, for love will cover a multitude of sins. If somebody's done you wrong, forgive them, but don't talk about them. Let it go. You can move on in your life. Go ahead and move on. But don't, when you bring it up over and over, the past hurts, you live there when you're supposed to be living out here in your future, where you're at right now. You get stuck way back there. Have you ever met somebody who's stuck 20 years ago? Oh, man. How many have seen Napoleon Dynamite? All the young people, everybody else is like, what? What? No, what? What is that? Napoleon. I know who Napoleon is. Where's the dynamite come in? Napoleon Dynamite is one of the stupidest movies ever. But it's funny at 4 a.m. Let me just say this. There's a guy in there, and it's one of the main characters' uncle, and he is stuck being the high school quarterback. And he's like 40. Okay, look. If you were an athlete in high school, great. It's over. Okay? The NFL is not looking for middle-aged, slow, whatever color you are, men. You know what I mean? In my case, white guys. All right? They're not looking. Let it go. Just let it go. Cover that up with love and move on with your life. Amen? Get out of that. People do it with hurt, though. They do it with hurt. Let's look at another scripture here. 1 Peter 3:7, right before 3:8. I just want to read this one to you, and then I'll finish up with one more and we'll call it. It says this, husbands likewise dwell with wives, talking about wives, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together but of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, let me read this to you in the Passion Translation. It says, husbands, you in turn must treat your wives with tenderness, viewing them as feminine partners who deserve to be honored, for they are heirs, they are co-heirs with you of the divine grace of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Do you know what the word hinder means? It means to detain. It means impeding persons by breaking up the road. So think about this. If you're going to pray and not love your wife, do you know what you do? You pray, then you don't walk in love, then you tear up the road of your prayer, and then that answer to your prayer can't come. People say, well, I'm not married. Well, that doesn't affect you. Because you ain't got nobody to love. You know what I mean? That was not meant like that. Come on, you're supposed to believe the best here. You don't have anybody that can hinder you, okay? Now, your own love walk could be hindered. Or your own prayers could be hindered if your love walk wasn't in place. And I'll show you that here in a minute. But in marriage, you have to, you get to love each other. And it's not like you have to do it in the sense of, like, I love you because I have to till death do us part. You know? It's not like that. You have the love of God in you. God doesn't love you because he has to. He loves you because he wants to. Amen? It's in you. People say, well, it doesn't feel like it. I know, you little feeler. You're supposed to faith it, and then you'll feel it later. Oh, man. That went over well. Okay. Weaker vessel. What does it mean? It just means physically, is all it means. And if you read the history of this book, this chapter and this book, and in the times of Peter, women were not treated like they are today. I know we have the women's movement, okay? But you ain't seen no oppression of women, in at least like they did in that day. It's not even close. In fact, the Christianity was a champion for women in their day. Because Paul made this statement, in Christ there's neither male nor female. I mean, that had to drive the chauvinist pigs nuts. What do you mean? No, that's not, you know. Because in their day, if you were a widow, there was no help for you. It's not like today. Or if you were an orphan as a girl, you were trash. You were a slave at best. And there was nothing for you. But it's talking about being weaker in the physical sense. I know we live in an era that thinks they can do whatever they want. And I think I heard the other day that there are 112 genders now. 112? How? I didn't even bother to look it up, okay? Because there are two. Okay, there are two. Okay. So, but I looked this up because I thought, okay, weaker, what do you mean by that? Let's see. I looked up the world's strongest lift by a woman and by a man. Okay, I looked him up on Google, because Google knows everything. So I looked it up. So I thought, well, if it's true physically, it'll show up in science. You know what I mean? Because God said it. Well, Becca Swanson started competing in strong woman competitions in 2002. She's currently the only woman to squat more than 800 pounds. Now that woman could kill me. Just quick. Swanson's best lifts are 854.3 pounds in the squat. And listen to this, 600.8 pounds in the bench. You've got to be kidding me. She could lift the back end of my car. It's crazy. And you think that's something. Listen to a man. Okay? Jonas, I can't even pronounce his last name. Rantanen of Finland performed a squat of 1,268 pounds. That is how much more than a woman? Over 400 pounds more. So physically, it bears out. Does that make sense? The bench, let me see here. Where's the highest bench? I had it. Oh, okay. Gene Ricklag is the first man to bench press over 1,000 pounds. 1,004 pounds. I mean, they must just like have their bed in the corner of the gym. They lift and then they go to bed and they wake up, they just start lifting again. I mean, that is a massive creature of a man. But my point in that is this, even genetically, and this is all things being equal, men are stronger than women physically. So why is that? Men were designed to protect and serve. Women were designed to nurture and be a help. Does that make sense? Now, this is naturally. In the spirit, men and women are equal. You're equal because you're in Christ. Makes sense? Okay? So, but in the natural, we've been given different gifts. I don't ask my wife to go, you know, chop firewood. Not that we need to, because we just push the button thing and the fire turns on. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not like, honey, why don't you go jack up the car and change the tire? You know, it just doesn't happen. Why? Because I'm built stronger. I can do those things easier. Okay? Finally, Galatians chapter 5, and we'll end here. Galatians chapter 5. Well, if I can find it. Hopefully I wrote it down. I might have to look it up. Which I can do. Have you gained anything out of this series? Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. This is like the paramount thing. For walking in love, I mean, if this doesn't motivate you, I don't know what will. Because the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Galatians 5, 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Okay? So you say, why would you read that verse? You can go ahead and stand with me. Why would you read that verse? Very simply. As you continue to move forward with the Lord, as you continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord, you need to realize this. Your faith will not work outside of love. Okay? So husbands and wives, love each other. Everybody else, keep walking in love. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when you don't feel like it, continue to walk in love. Why? Because you always want your faith active every day. If faith is the victory that overcomes the world, you never want it dormant. Okay? You always want it active. And so, in order to do that, you need to continue to walk in love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Father, that you are so faithful to watch over your word and perform it. Lord, I believe that we have gone over this love subject by your direction. And Father, I know that seeds of your word have been planted in hearts. So, Father, I just thank you that you are causing growth. We sow and we water, but you give the increase. So I thank you for increase. Lord, we'll continue to be doers of your word and not hearers only, because we know that the doers of the word are the ones that are blessed according to your word. So I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence, and I thank you that you're going with each one of us, that we are surrounded by angels, that we are protected and kept as we go. And as we go, we will be lights for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So before I let you go this morning, if you want prayer for anything, please come see me, and we will do that. God bless you guys. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.